Welcome to my human design experiment.
Hello, and welcome back to Embodying Mystical Mac. I'm Mac, and if you're new here, thank you so much for joining. If you are returning, thank you so much for coming back. Today, if you're listening on the podcast, I've got a little shell here because we're going to be talking about The Little Mermaid. I really appreciate y'all's patience with me on this. My Little Mermaid reaction trailer has done so well over time, and it did so well even just right off the bat, and I'm so grateful. So let's just get into it. For those of you wondering if I'm going to be reacting to the Wish trailer, I have already kind of seen it here and there in theaters, so I don't feel like it would be a fair reaction. And also, I'm kind of holding my breath for Wish. I'm obviously excited because it's Disney's 100th year celebration and all that, but I'm kind of bracing myself for it to be really cheesy. So yeah. For today though, we're gonna be talking about The Little Mermaid live action. Now, for those of you who don't know, I did get to meet her in Disney World, and it was so fun. So fun. The cast member who played her did such a great job, and it was genuinely like an inner child full circle moment. So super cool. Cause like I also got to meet Storybook Ariel, right? Animated Ariel, because we did the whole Cinderella's Royal Table thing for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. But to meet live action Ariel, like there was just something extra special there for me. Okay, so to start off with a little spoiler free review, this movie did have heart, albeit that heart was a little squashed by what felt to me like executive decisions. If you like the original Little Mermaid, you may like this movie. It might also drive you nuts though. So that's kind of what I've realized as the different reactions and things have come out. For me personally, I quite enjoyed it. I could get over the things that I'm gonna tell you that were not so great about it. But overall, like, my inner child was happy. It was cool to see. It was cool to see just a slightly different take on it. I, for comedic reasons, really appreciate that, like, Uncharted Water song from Eric, because it just really gave bet on it. From High School Musical 2. I saw a TikTok, like, comparing the two, and it was just literally had me laughing for a week straight, so... it had really good moments for reasons that I'm sure they would be really happy about, and then it had really good moments like what I just mentioned about how that song kind of felt like a bet on it, where they might not be so stoked about it, but hey, I'm not the one who made the choices, okay? So let's get into my notes about it. From this point on, we will be talking spoilers. I know that was a very vague spoiler-free review. It is what it is. This video was never gonna be anything crazy though. I'm actually doing this right now because I have just a little bit of time before I head to work, and I didn't wanna get into the Wheel of Time stuff right now because that typically takes a little bit longer, but I knew that this movie was gonna be a little bit more straightforward here to the point. So, here are some main points not working for me. Let's just start off with the what I didn't love so much. It stayed too close to the original when it should have diverted. And then it felt like it diverted when it should have stayed close. So essentially, when they made it, yeah, the choices were flipped for me. When they should have gone away from the original, they kind of decided, hey, yeah, let's keep this. And then when they really should have kept what the original was doing, they were like, yeah, no, let's change this. You know, why not? The beginning being a choir. The fact that they cut this just really, really kind of killed it for me, because you don't really set up the stakes at the beginning as well without that choir celebration. Because with the choir being something that Ariel totally forgets about, and this is something that she's constantly doing, right? Forgetting her responsibilities. With that being a big kingdom-wide celebration. There's a lot riding on her being there. So when you change that to like a wee little meeting between your dad and the rulers, or not rulers, but I guess like the sentinels of the seven seas, which are your fellow sisters, it just doesn't have as much stake, right? It's kind of like missing the weekly dinner on Sunday, or I guess they meet, I don't know, I don't remember how often they meet, but let's say it's like, say your family has immediate family-wide barbecue every quarter of the year, right? So like every 4 months they have a barbecue. But then every 5 years, your family does a big 5-year reunion with everybody. Missing the meeting that they included in the live action feels to me like missing the quarterly barbecue. Whereas missing the choir, the kingdom-wide choir, feels a lot to me like missing that 5-year reunion. So it just really didn't set up the stakes very well for me, because essentially that issue that her father has with her is the reason he ends up destroying her grove and like setting this whole thing in motion. So for that to not be properly motivated on his end just kind of had it starting flat for me. And plus, I really enjoy the choir for us getting to see all the different mer people, which I know we got to see in different bits here and there, but it's a really cool thing that we get to see all the different mer people and everything. And then when they show up at the end, by the way, which we'll get there, it's not so like freaking random. Felt really random, even though I love the reunion between the merfolk and the human people at the end. Like, anyways, we'll get there. And the last little bit that I'll talk about the choir, another thing that it's really, really good for is introducing Sebastian and making us aware of the fact that Sebastian is this prominent figure in the kingdom, not just in the kingdom as in like he's the conductor of the royal choir, but he is so, you know, also because he's Triton's right-hand man. I mean, he's obviously musically talented. Just saying, like, what a no-brainer to make Triton's right-hand man the conductor of the royal choir. So Sebastian would have been better established as well. Another qualm that I have under this main point of, like, sticking close to the book. Can you tell I'm talking about Wheel of Time and thinking about Wheel of Time a lot? Yeah. Under this, like, big umbrella point of they should have veered away when they stuck close and vice versa, is Under the Sea. So I appreciate the thought of, hey, let's keep Under the Sea kind of close to the original movie in the sense that you have all these different marine animals involved and all that fun nonsense. The thing, though, that kind of killed it for me is, as far as we know, the only marine animals that we've seen, like, actively talk to the merfolk are Flounder and Sebastian. Which, for some reason, just gave me this thought that maybe this entire movie is just, like, a fever dream by Ariel, and she really is, like, Eric's princess already, and she's having this like crazy plague and she dreams up this whole thing. Anyway, ADHD thoughts. Yeah. I really feel like if they wanted to keep to the marine animals play along with Ariel vibe, that we should have involved some merfolk. That we should have brought in, and again, the choir would have worked so well to establish the fact that the merfolk are very musical people, right? So if Sebastian's like singing this song about getting Ariel to realize what's under the sea, wouldn't it just be intelligent also if he was established as the conductor of the royal choir? Wouldn't it just be intelligent to get some of the other merfolk from the choir, from the band, to come and play along? And we can still have the marine animals be involved. For the most part, they were still like using themselves as like instruments or being used as instruments and those kinds of things. We can still have that happen but also include the merfolk. Like, it also would have added a layer of, okay, Ariel and Triton and essentially our main characters aren't the only ones involved in this idea of this being a musical, because that also makes it a more organic musical. The best musicals out there are the ones where there are ensemble numbers, where everybody sings. So the fact that we didn't fully get that, and especially when there could have been such a great opportunity, I guess I'm gonna keep mentioning the choir because it really would have made a difference, apparently. And then again in Under the Sea, I really feel like that was a missed opportunity to not only make that musicality like a little bit more natural in the story, but just again keep inserting the merfolk in there, because they are gonna come up at the end, they are gonna unite with the humans at the end, right? So let's keep going. Changing the poor unfortunate souls line, where we don't have like the body language line anymore, it felt kind of forced. It felt like Disney trying to be too PC, and that's coming from me. Like, I am definitely someone who doesn't necessarily like, I don't have like a blanket thing other than, you know, don't say like bigoted, hateful shit. I don't really have like a hard line of like what is PC, what's not. It's more for me that like I try to like wade through those gray areas as best as I can, because some hard truths sometimes need to be said. However, you know, there's always a way to say things, and again, intention matters. And it's really clear in Ursula's intention when she says, like, you'll have your looks, your pretty face, and don't underestimate the importance of body language. Like, I don't know, it just kind of takes away from her villainy a little bit, and it felt unnecessary, it felt forced. I didn't like it. I don't understand the need for the amnesia. Maybe it was more for the animals to be able to get involved more, but even then, like, the animals are still gonna be able to get involved more. So again, felt like an unnecessary change. Ursula's introduction, as well as like her monologues, were really weird to me. I know that they were, again, trying to keep to the movie, the original movie, and this is where it just failed for them. Like, please have her talk to Flotsam and Jetsam. Please have her talk to even her like little shrimpy minion like garden or whatever. Just have her be talking to somebody. Like, it took me out a little bit, and it just felt very like, look at us guys, we're doing a thing. And it's like, you should have just done the simplest thing. Anyways, so I really feel that Eric should have helped her vanquish Ursula for a couple reasons. One, I don't mind a girl boss. I don't mind, and when I say girl boss, I don't mean like the negative connotation that it's gained across the years. I just mean like, I don't mind a girl who takes matter into her own hands. I love seeing that in movies, especially because it really only started happening like 20 years ago consistently. Right, so I really appreciate seeing that in movies. I appreciate those attributes being given to princesses that maybe didn't have them as strongly in the past. However, what I don't appreciate is those moments, because I'm not even gonna say traits, because Ariel clearly has those kinds of traits. She was fucking around on an abandoned ship looking for treasure and nearly gets like eaten by a shark. She's clearly a strong person who can handle herself, right? So why do we have to sacrifice a moment where she and Eric could do this together? Eric could in turn prove his loyalty to Triton and the merfolk, right? She can in turn essentially build even deeper trust with him because he's helped her accomplish this like crazy and very necessary thing in order to save herself, her father, and her people, and potentially even his people at that point. I don't love that moment was sabotaged by us needing Ariel to do it herself. That's my two cents on that. There are moments where I really wish that they would have used the Broadway music. Like, I wish that there would have been some intersplicing of the Broadway songs into this. And maybe some of you don't know this, but yeah, there was a Little Mermaid on Broadway. It's lovely. If you ever have like a chance to go see it, whether it's like by an actual professional company or a reputable community theater, I 100% recommend. Really fun show. But some of the songs that I feel like they could have used is One Step Closer, which is this really beautiful song where Eric and Ariel essentially communicate through dance. And it's really, really lovely. Actually, highly recommend you go listen to that soundtrack. If you like musical theater, you'll really like it. And if you like Little Mermaid, but you're not huge into musical theater, you might still really like it. So One Step Closer was one I wish they would have used. If Only, which is this really lovely quartet where we get both Eric, Ariel, Triton, and Sebastian's point of view. She's in Love, which is this flounder-led song where he's talking to Ariel's sisters about how Ariel's acting different, and her sisters are like, oh my god, she's in love. It's a really fun song, but I feel like, again, it would have involved the merfolk and the musicality. It would have given us this idea of like, oh, okay, like, Flounder and Sebastian don't just mostly talk to Ariel, and everybody else does get in on the singing. Like, it would have helped that. Sweet Child. Okay, Sweet Child is the song that Ursula sings, and I believe she's singing it about Ariel to Flotsam and Jetsam. And again, it would have fixed this weird, like, Ursula intro monologue-y situation that kind of felt unrealistic and took me out. And I get it, Ursula is like this octopus witch monster. It's not necessarily realistic at its basis, but like, it's live action. We're going for a sense of realism here. So I believe that Sweet Child could have been a good little way to show that. And again, involve other people in the musicality, you know, before Ursula gets to Poor Unfortunate Souls. Like, give her something like this. Anyways, okay, here we go. And then the last one that I thought, but I put a question mark next to it, was Wildest Dreams. And it's this song when she first gets to the castle and she sings it in her head, basically. And it's very cute. It's essentially like the song, or not like it, as in it's the same, or similar sounding, because it's not, but it's a similar vibe, albeit a little bit more upbeat, of that Gravity's Bringing Me Down song. I put a question mark next to it because I understand where we're going with that Gravity's Bringing Me Down song. I appreciate them taking that vibe. I feel like it's definitely more realistic than the Wildest Dreams vibe of the musical. And it especially, you know, that gravity thing, like it, Ariel's never fully dealt with gravity. I love that. I just wish we could have made it less on the nose, my friends. But yeah, that was the only one that I'm like, maybe Wildest Dreams wouldn't have worked, especially because that Gravity's Bringing Me Down song, like, the ending of it is very fitting to bring us into the next story beat. So there's that. But I just, yeah, make a song about gravity, but can we, like, make it a little bit more lyrically inventive? That's what I would have wanted. Next, and this will carry us through to the end of this video / podcast episode. If you're listening on the podcast, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. What worked for me? Here are the things that worked for me. Using Eric's plight of wanting to explore as a connection with Ariel. I really thought that was a lovely, lovely little thing. The fact that she stumbles in to essentially his treasure trove was really, really, really sweet. And the way that they connected over that was really lovely. I love the joke of like the Little Mermaid, the literal little glass mermaid. All very, very cute and felt genuine, felt full of heart, and I really did appreciate that. That actually helped the movie because it helped deepen their connection. Suddenly, they really did have something to connect over. They really are people that could, you know, be together forever. And it doesn't feel so like Disney princessy meets a guy, marries him, that kind of thing. Showing the island village and having Ariel experience it with Eric was also great for that character building, for that relationship building. I also really appreciated the distinction and the difference between the islanders, more, I know everybody's an islander there, but like the island villagers, like the, how do I say this? Kind of like the shoreline villagers, more so than, you know, the city that's like closer to the castle, how they had different shoes that Ariel ended up switching, you know, her kind of like more uncomfortable fancy castle boots for those like more comfortable sandals, which I loved. How they essentially seemed more connected to Ariel's people, which is the mer people, all of that, right? They still believe in the legends and things like that. And I thought that was cool, the sprinkling in of the lore between Triton and Eric's kingdom and the like. And I think it's alluded to the fact that like Ariel's mom died by the hand of Eric's kingdom somehow. I may totally be making that up though. I have to rewatch it. Oh yeah, this one I already said, like Eric has a quote trove too. I thought that was cool. All the costumes were phenomenal. I just, the set design, the costumes, the underwater effects, I loved all of it. That really did add the sense of realism in it. But also like it felt very bright and just really fit the aesthetic of the movie without being over the top or feeling too costumey, or costumey at all, I should say. The opener with the abandoned ship, just like we do in the OG, this is something that they did. They stuck to the right thing at the right time, right? Like they chose to keep that, and I thought it worked really well. It helped establish her relationship with Flounder, helped let us know what kind of girl she is, all that good stuff. What did I write here? I have no idea what I wrote there. We're just gonna keep going. Oh, I really appreciated them using the higher key. This is what I said. Part of your world being personal and not comedic. I really appreciated that. I loved that it really was like very genuine. We were really getting into like how she feels about all this and all that. And you know, all that stuff with Sebastian was kind of cut out, which I appreciate it. There was still like a little bit of him following her around, but it wasn't for comedic effect. And I really liked that. Also, if you hear my heater, I apologize. It's getting to that time of year. I really liked them using the higher key for the part of your old reprise. That is like the Broadway key, because in the original movie, it essentially goes, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see, someday I'll be part of your world. And then for the Broadway version and the movie, they chose the very epic, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know something's starting right now. Watch and you'll see, someday I'll be part of your world. Just has a bit of ring to it, you know? Love. Halle Bailey slayed. So good. The ending with the merfolk and humans, even though it was still a little weird, still a little off-putting, because you know, the merfolk basically like were very sprinkled in there but weren't fully integrated. Still hit it for me, still appreciated the now we can walk. Oh wait, did they do that? They might have not. They might have just played the music. I genuinely don't remember. But both in the Broadway movie or Broadway show, and I think in the OG, they have that like reprise at the end where it's like, now we can walk, now we can run, and we can stay all day in the sun. Just you and me, and we can be part of your world. Something like that, but it's like the merfolk and the humans all singing together. It's lovely. I appreciated that we kept that, even though the merfolk felt weirdly out of place. And then, oh, I did say, but was missing the finale reprise of Part of Your World. Yeah, we were missing that. But it's okay, the vibe was there. You know, all in all, you guys, like, obviously, more of it didn't work for me than it did. But I can kind of look past that stuff just for the fact that, not as in look past, like, I'm gonna recommend this, like, it's a great movie. I will still caution people and be like, it's not the best. But my love for the original Mermaid kind of just has me excited about this movie anyway. And it had me reacting and it had me emoting. And yeah, the movie did what it was supposed to for me. But as you can tell, it was absolutely not perfect. As you can tell, I really do believe that if they had a little bit more thought, maybe a little bit more time, they could have done something truly, truly, truly magical. And I'm gonna go back to this every time I talk about a Disney live action, like Cinderella. Like Cinderella live action. Mwah, mwah, masterpiece. That shit was perfect. Can we do that again, please? Not like, obviously, the same thing. Just, can we treat live actions with that kind of care? That would be sick. Because if we're committed to doing this nonsense anyway, we just might as well do it right, you know? Anyways, thank you so much for joining this video. I'm so excited to get back here. I really appreciate y'all's, I was gonna say y'all's. That makes no sense. Y'all's patience with me. I started a new job and transitions are really rough for me. I love change, I thrive off of it, and it still takes me time to integrate myself back into some sort of flow. And to be honest, I've been a little terrified of the recording space right now because I have like five episodes of Wheel of Time to record. Don't you worry, they're all in here, but that's intimidating. And I really wanna prioritize those. But today I literally only had time for one little wee video. And I was like, you know, let's just get the Little Mermaid out so that when I get home tonight, I can really just go ham on some Wheel of Time. So I really appreciate all that are here for any of my content, whether it's Taylor Swift, whether it's Wheel of Time, whether it's like random commentary that you didn't know you cared about until I decided to bring it to your attention, whether it's these movies and shows that I talk about for kids, for adults, whatever. I really, really appreciate you being here. Genuinely. Someday there will be a time where I am a full-time content creator, and it'll be because of you guys. So I'm getting emotional now. Thank you so much. Thank you for any of you that care. I did find a job that I really, really love, and I'm really excited for it to sustain me while I'm doing this channel and while I get it to be as successful as I can possibly make it so that I can give more and make the best impact that I'm here to make. So speaking of impact, let me know how my videos impact you down below. Be kind, be aware. We're all humans with emotions here, as far as I know. If this tickled your fancy, please consider subscribing to the channel. Please consider liking the video, and please consider clicking the bell, because I do post regularly, but I don't post on a schedule. And I know I haven't been posting regularly lately, and that happens like probably like every 5 months. But for the most part, yeah, I do post regularly, so click that bell so you know exactly when that is. And if you would like to support me financially more directly, you can, I pause there because the liking, the subscribing, that all helps financially. But if you'd like to, you know, help a girl out a little bit, the economy is a little tough at the moment, there are my PayPal and or Venmo down in the description. I also have some affiliates you can check out. There's just a couple of them. And if you want to keep up with me on Instagram, follow me on social media, and that's at Embodying Mystical Mac. I posted a little mini cover of like an Olivia Rodrigo compilation the other day on my music account. That's at Mac and the Music. If you want to follow any of that, I really appreciate you. Thank you. You know, as much as The Little Mermaid didn't wow me, it still made my heart warm and fuzzy, and for that, I'm pretty grateful. Let me know what you're grateful down in the comments today, and I will catch you next time. Mwah! Part of your world! Yes!
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Mystical Mac. Please be sure to subscribe for future episodes and leave me a review while you're there. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok by finding me at Mac Guerrera. Also, check out mysticalmac.com for information on my daily blog, my YouTube channel, and more. Lastly, I'd like to give a big shout out to James Thursday for doing the production of this podcast from here on out, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.